Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just ask you now just to come and just to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. And we just give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Most of you know me. I'm Stephanie. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pure and holy in your sight. Amen. Todd had asked me to share soon after the gathering commenced, and I kept putting him off. And finally, I thought, if he keeps asking me, I guess I'm supposed to share. So I put a fleece out there, and I prepared something. And I said, if and when Todd wants me to speak, he'll ask me. Well, last Thursday he did. So here I am. I think we can all agree that the world is spinning out of control. All we have to do is watch the news to see that the world's literally going to hell in a handbasket. Roman said that would happen. That man would be turned over to their own depravity, and we're watching it at an exponential occurrence. Watching that, seeing that, knowing that, it would be easy to get discouraged. But discouragement is not a fruit of the Spirit. Neither is fear, worry, anxiety. They're all tools from Satan's tool shed. And they have one thing in common. They're negative. And they bring death. And we are children of light. So, get thee behind me, Satan. I have a little thing on my laundry room, and it says, I steadily refuse to gratify the devil by being discouraged. Amen. Amen. Don't feed the beast. Because when we're discouraged, he takes great joy. Because we're not productive in the kingdom, if we're worrying, if we're fearful, if we're anxious, or any of the above. But God, Galatians 6:9 tells us that let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season or time, we will reap a harvest or a reward if we do not give up. Todd and Lewis and several others have spoken several times and quoted Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will rise up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a powerful word. There's action in the waiting. When it says, they that hope or wait, they shall be renewed. They will mount up. They will ascend. They will run. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. There's action in the waiting. It's a verb. We may not be moving, but God's moving. He's always moving. We're renewed, we're restored, we ascend, and when we move rapidly in the Word and in His calling of us, we're attaining, we're achieving, and those people that are in our lives at that moment are reaping the benefits and the rewards as well as we are. So that's really important. We're not the Lone Ranger. We're not. Sorry. God expects us to patiently wait. Sometimes the waiting is long. Sometimes it seems like it's never going to end. but it does. We hope, and that's actively trusting in Him to do the work. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." If He says a word twice in one verse, it's important. And He says, wait. We are such a immediate gratification society that we don't know how to wait anymore. We expect everything immediately. And when it doesn't happen, we get really frustrated and angry sometimes at God because, you know, we want it yesterday. But there's action in the waiting. It's actively trusting, and that's faith. One step at a time, one day at a time, one prayer at a time. And although we wait and it seems like there's nothing happening or being done, He's always working. I love that song, He never stops working, never stops working. But He's working behind the scenes out of our eyesight, but not out of our heart sight. And that's when we learn the truth of our faith. Are we watching Him with our eyes, or are we watching Him with our heart? I sometimes wonder. I know that the Lord has a reason that He doesn't share things with us in the open, because I'm speaking to myself here. I could see me tapping Him on the shoulder, saying, "Excuse me, Lord, don't you think we could do it this way? Wouldn't this be better?" And so I'm glad He doesn't do that. All He tells us or asks us to do is to trust and believe. Psalm 56:11 says, "In God I have put my trust." Psalm 4:5, "Trust in the Lord." Hebrews 2:13, "I will put my trust in Him." It's all about the trust. When you love somebody, you trust them. You know, think of somebody that you love the most and how much you trust them. He tells us to trust and believe, to walk by faith and not by sight, to wait upon Him. Isaiah 64:4 says, "For from of old they have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen a God besides you who acts in behalf of the one who waits for Him." Again, it's trusting and waiting, and that's faith in action. Remember when Jesus spoke to Thomas in the upper room after he'd already appeared to the other disciples, and Thomas said, "Unless I see the scars, unless I touch Him, I'm not going to believe." And Jesus says to him, "Because you have seen Me, you believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." John 20. He was speaking about us. Where are those people? So back to Galatians 6:9. "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap a harvest or a reward if we do not give up." It's a great reminder. How do we not grow weary, especially in these days and times? How do we walk by faith and not by sight? How do we not give up? Philippians 3:13-14 says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself as attained or taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me upward or heavenward in Christ Jesus." Pressing on is another act of faith. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. The prize, the harvest, the reward, it's heavenward. It's not here. It's not here. We're supposed to look up. Exactly. Peter charges us in 1 Peter 3:9, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance." You get it after the fact, right? to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though for now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. When Paul was in prison and he knew his time was short, it would have been an easy time to be discouraged. But he wasn't. But as he say in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. For him, it was a win-win, you know? And then he says in Philippians 3:7, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Philippians 4:4-7, and then verse 13, rejoice in the Lord again. Always I say rejoice. There's those two words in one verse. You know it's important. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Again, a tool from Satan's tool shed. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And we do it because he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, Paul's in prison, and yet this letter has been said to be the happiest book in the Bible. And the man's in prison. Hallelujah. You wonder why or how he could have such peace and even joy in the midst of trials and sufferings. Well, then is here comes another father of the faith. James says in 1:2-4, and I know you know this one well, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let your endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and lack nothing. Todd and Lewis have spoken on several occasions through the last couple of years about perseverance and endurance and how it's kind of cyclical. You know, we're persevering, we're enduring, but throughout the whole time we're patient in the process because that's what the Lord's calling us to do. Then he goes right back to Philippians 1:6, and it says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it or carry it on until the day of Christ Jesus. Who's doing the work? He's doing the work. He's doing the work. He's carrying it on. The only thing he requires of us is that we yield and surrender. You know, we don't want to make it difficult for him. Not that he, I mean, nothing's difficult for him. But you know what I'm saying. We can make it easy for us by yielding, or we can make it difficult for us by not yielding and being obedient. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. In Romans 8:18, Paul writes, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's us. Wow. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Colossians 3:1-3. Therefore, I love therefore, because we know that's the truth. That's a promise. Therefore, If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you see a pattern or a parallel here? Eyesight, temporal. Heart sight, eternal. Which demonstrates our faith? We all know the answer to that question. Romans 8:25, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Eternity is our reality, not this world. Heaven is our real home, not the house that we get our bills in, that we call home. That's just temporary. We need to sink our roots in Him. I remember early in our marriage, and even midway and older in our marriage, we moved a lot, and we weren't military, but I think God created in women this nesting instinct. You know, we get into a house, we're going to make it a home, we're going to fluff up the feathers, it's going to be perfect, everyone's going to be warm and welcome, and just about the time that you get settled, it's like, okay, it's time to move. I remember telling my husband several years ago that I was so tired of moving that the next time he moved me, it would have to be in a pine box. Well, he left in the pine box, so I'm going to have a word with him when I see him. But, you know, yeah, poor guy. No, I'm glad he went first. I was jealous at first, but I wouldn't want him to endure this pain, so I'm glad he went first. Ephesians 3, 16 through 17 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and we know that's Jesus. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith. I told Todd, I wrote and rewrote this so many times. I've got things everywhere. 1 Chronicles 29:15, for we are sojourners before you and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow. I am a pilgrim in this world, but at home in my God. I want you to think about the Israelites. When you said about chasing the fire or the clouds, they didn't have to chase the fire or the cloud. The fire and the cloud was with them. When the pillar stopped, they pitched their tents. They stayed in the warmth of its fire until the pillar of cloud moved them by day. Both day and night, he was their covering. He was their home. He never said he was going to take them home. He never said that. He said, I'm taking you to the promised land. They were sojourners like we are, you know. They were in the wilderness for 40 years, but they were home because they were with the Lord. You have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Psalm 91:9. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Psalm 90, verse 1. The eternal God is a dwelling place. Deuteronomy 33, 27. And the same can be said of us. If we are his and he is ours, then we're already home. Heaven is our promised land, but we're already home. Don't you think that the Israelites got discouraged and weary and frustrated? I mean, roaming around the wilderness for 40 years? I mean, that happens to me sometimes, and I've only been, you know, walking this earth for more than 40 years, but anyway, he calls us to live by faith and not by sight. I love Hebrews 11, the chapter with the fathers of the faith, and it says in verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Again, it's not eyesight, it's faith sight, it's heart sight. Faith gives reality and proof of the things unseen, treating them as if they were already objects of sight rather than hope, because in God's eternal perspective, they are. We have to think like the Lord thinks. We have to have the mind of Christ, you know? Paul's listing of them in chapter 11 confirms that. But for me, I love chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. That, to me, that's the frosting on the cake. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him. You know, I struggled with that years ago, and I remember praying about it, meditating, and I thought, what was the joy set before him? And the Holy Spirit revealed that it was me. I was the joy set before him. You are the joy set before him. And because of that, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Ding dong, yes, hallelujah. Ring that cancer bell. It's over, we're done. Todd, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Summer Olympics, isn't the marathon the last event? I think it is, and I think it is because everyone's in the stadium for the closing ceremony, and everyone is waiting there for that first runner to just come through that dark tunnel, and the crowds roar. You know, I mean, these men and women have run 26.2 miles. They've hit the wall. How many of us have hit our own spiritual walls at times? But they endured, they persevered, they kept going. And those people surrounding them and or surrounding and welcoming them in are the great cloud of witnesses at the Olympics, but that's the great cloud of witnesses in heaven, cheering us on, saying, you did it. I'm so excited for you. Welcome. So don't grow weary. Don't be discouraged. Run with perseverance the race set before you, so that we may share the hope that is within us. We talked about this last week. We can share it with boldness and confidence, but not arrogantly or condescendingly. I mean, that's just going to turn somebody off. But with gentleness and humility and compassion. And may Jesus say to us, as he said to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 1:3, you have persevered and have endured for my name's sake. So be encouraged and don't give up. I just want to share a little side note. A lot of you know that my daughter's family lives overseas, and I was there visiting this past fall. And sometimes they go to the local church, sometimes they go to Calvary Chapel, there's a Calvary Chapel there, and sometimes they go to the International Church. When we go to all three on one Sunday, we call it Trinity Sunday. But that Sunday we went to Calvary Chapel, and it was like a taste of heaven, because we're worshiping, and I'm worshiping in English, and some other people are worshiping in their local tongue and language, and others were worshiping in Russian and Kazakh. It was like a taste of heaven, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. And I had such a yearning for heaven. And I remember saying, okay, Lord, you know, how long? And he distinctly and audibly said to me, hold on. And he didn't just say it once. He said it several times. Hold on, hold on, hold on. So I know he's coming. We know he's coming. We don't know the day or the hour. But again, the way things are happening, I mean, we may not get home tonight. We may get really home tonight. But hallelujah, so be it. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Empower and enable us through your Holy Spirit to not grow weary, to endure and persevere, knowing and trusting that you are always with us. And so on that glorious day when we step into the promised land of heaven, we may hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. You could walk on that word. I mean, really, you could really walk on that word. And I love that. There's so much there. It was just outstanding. It was outstanding. And we record everything here. So, yeah, you can get it over and over again. It's something you got to get really deep into your spirit. So, anyway, well, Father, we just thank you for what you've already done here. Lord, just you give us unction now. And just lead us right now into this word. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I've been in my spirit, been really stirred this week. I shared a little bit in the word of the week. And I want to pose a question to you. Where do you get your information? And the reason why I'm asking you that is that there's so much deception right now in the world. And there's so many things that are coming at us. And it's not just the things that we see in our phones and TV and stuff like that. I'm talking about the brain waves, the thought waves, and such an assault on the world. And, you know, we're the ones that are actually protected from these things. And so, but I'm submitting this to you because I'm talking to you about your ministries tonight. And I want you to know, I want you just to ask, where are you getting your information from? You know, we read that scripture every time that we meet here. You know, he wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear. And I would submit to you, who is waking you up? What is the first word you're hearing when you wake up in the morning? And it might be mechanical at first, but it needs to become a reflex. You really need to wake up in the morning and really hear his voice. The first word that you hear when you wake up, hear Jesus' voice. Hear the Holy Spirit's voice. Because that verse in Isaiah was speaking to him. When he woke up, he heard his Father's voice. And so you need to know where you're getting your information from. Because when you're getting your information from him is much different than when you get it from the world. And I'm not saying don't look at the news or look at that. I like to look at the news to see if I'm hearing correctly. You know, to confirm some things that I'm hearing. And it's just one of those things. But I can't afford to cut off that information that comes from on high. And, you know, she was talking a lot about endurance. And I love the Old Testament prophets because every single one of them had endurance. I mean, can you imagine to have the call that Ezekiel had? Can you imagine having to do the things that he had to do, laying on his side for so many months or years or wherever he did? I mean, can you imagine that? He had to cook his own meals with dung, you know, and I remember crying out to God, can I please use cow dung instead of human dung? I mean, you know, the guy had to do some things, you know. I mean, they talk about endurance. And talk about commitment, you know. And but where did they get their information from? I mean, you had to get specific information to start going out cooking like that. I mean, you like to barbecue, right? When have you ever barbecued with dung? Well, maybe God's talking to you about that. You know, maybe you ought to head next barbecue. Let's see who the real Christians are. Amen. I want you to call. We'll call the gathering there. We'll have a gathering house. That's right. We'll all bring our dung. Okay. How's that? So we ought to hear from God. Okay. So I'm just saying that. Where are we getting our information from? But I love the Old Testament prophets. I love my Jewish brothers. You know, I was coached by a Jewish man. He was Jewish Italian. And when he got mad, I tell you what, all the blood and history came up. I mean, it was like God speaking to me, you know, and just he was quite a guy. So I love my Jewish brothers. I really do. I really am. I was training in the Jewish Community Center, is where I trained, and it was an interesting place. It really was. And so I got to understand the culture a little bit. And so you look at Daniel, and here he is, Daniel, and this. You know, I'm in Daniel chapter 2, if you want to look there, but here is Daniel, the Nebuchadnezzar, who's a king, and God decides to give an unbeliever, and Nebuchadnezzar was not a Jew, was he? He wasn't a Jew. Okay. And yet, the Most High God gives him a dream that is one of the most profound prophetic dreams you could have to an unbeliever. God chooses what he wants to do sometimes. And so he gives him this dream, and he goes to his wife because he wants to know what in the heck does this dream mean, because he knows it's a divine dream. I mean, it's one of those things. You get a dream from God, you know it's from God. You never forget it. It's like it's imprinted in your heart. You can call it up. Now, I encourage you to write your dreams down if you do get them. But I want to tell you, I remember my dreams from the Lord like they were yesterday. They're so vivid and so strong. It's downloaded into you. He has this dream. And he says, he calls the wise man and says, will you please tell me what my dream is? And of course, they say, he goes, well, tell us what the dream is. And they go, no. No, you're not going to fool me. You guys, if you're really wise men, you will get the dream. And so he says, if you don't give them to me, I'm going to kill you. Well, it gets to Daniel, as you know. And Daniel, what does Daniel do? Daniel goes to the Lord. And the Lord shows him and gives him the revelation. He says, verse 19 says, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. The secret was revealed. The information, the solving the problem was given to him in a vision, in a dream, in the night. So he gets this information. And the reason why I'm asking you where you're getting your information from is I really want you to understand that your ministries must get to the place, you must get to such a routine in your life to where your information is coming from on high. And that's the way Daniel lived. And so when he came into a problem, a situation where he needed to hear from on high, it wasn't something like he didn't believe he could get it. He believed he could get it. And he had a confidence in it because of his relationship. And you've got a good relationship with the Lord. You do. But we have a choice. We have something to do with whether we get it there or not. And let's face it, we get tired, we get distracted, things go on in our lives, and we sometimes it's not backsliding, the awareness is gone. And so when you keep that awareness and you have that contact, and Daniel had it, and so he gets this in a vision in the night. Daniel, in a vision in the night, blessed the God of heaven because he gets the secret. Now, I haven't had a lot of visions, but recently I've been getting some visions in the night, and they're within dreams. And the reason why I knew it was a vision because I could actually feel things. I mean, it's like I'm here. And it was very, very unusual. And the first one that I had experienced was actually when we started the gathering. It was right before Israel was attacked. And I had this dream, and I'll share it with you. I'm not going to give you an interpretation of it, but I will share what it was, and I have shared it before. But I'm in this building, and I'm looking at a wall, and when I'm looking at the wall, I know it's a communist building because I've traveled quite extensively, and I've been in communist buildings before, and some of them are spectacular in their architecture, but there are some that are old and just look like they were made in the 60s, and the paint's kind of worn, and it's just this same blue stuff that they kind of use over there in some of their stuff. And so I recognize that, and I know I'm in it. I'm not in fear or anything like that, and I'm looking at this wall, and all of a sudden an earthquake hits. And I want to get out of the building. I'm not afraid, but I want to get out of it because I know I'm on the ground floor. And so I start to make a move to go to the door, and the ground lifts up and knocks me this way. So then I said, well, I'm going to go that way, and then the ground lifts up. And so I'm seesawing like this, but I'm experiencing this earthquake, and I know I got to get out of this building. And so all of a sudden, it'll make a move, and I see the door, and I come out the door, and as I come out the door, there's a woman behind me. Now, I know she's a woman, but I can't tell. I don't see her face. She's just like light. It's like he's just a light, like a woman that's just all light. And so I grab her hand, and I pull her out of this building. I come out of the building. All of a sudden, I find myself on top of this big, huge pile of rock, like construction. You know, they just pile stuff up, and it's really high. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this is going to go. I got to get off of this. This is not stable ground. I look back over my shoulder this way, and I see a patio of cement over there. And so I said, I'm going to head towards that. So I start heading towards that. And as I'm heading towards it, I look back, and these people are on scaffoldings on this building, and they're all shadows, and they're trying to build this thing that's going to come down. And so, and of course, I woke up after all this, because as I head to this slab, I know I'm going to get slab, as soon as right before I get to it, that's the end of it. Now, I do have interpretations of this, but it was a vision within a dream. It was information that God was trying to give me about events that were to take place, and certain things about how the church is going to be rescued out of this thing that's about to fall, and religion is going to fall, and communism is going to fall. And so I just, you know, and there was other things that were to it, but that was one thing I had. And the other thing that I had I'm not going to share that one. So we're just going to go on here. So anyway, but my point is this. God will give you visions and insight. He wants to give you information about things that are going to come. It may be pertaining to your life. It might be pertaining to something else, but he wants to communicate to you. But when you get your information from him, when that becomes the only source that you trust, that you don't trust anything else, because let's face it, everything that we see on TV, it's all hyped up. It's all pushing one ideology or the other. And there's some truth somewhere in there and that type of thing, but you can't rely on it. So let's face it, if we're getting our information from the world, we're not informed. That's why he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so we need to make kind of a commitment that we're going to start to get some information from him so that we are aware about what really is going on in the earth. Because the scripture says that day will not overtake us. So it must mean that the people that are living as the coming of the Lord, that day is not going to overtake them, but there will be an awareness within them. And I really do believe everybody in here understands there is something coming. Yes. Well, and it's Jesus. Yes. But we have to be aware of it. See, when you're aware and walking a sensitivity that his return is upon you, it changes the way that you live. It changes your communication. It makes you take advantage of the day and try to treat everybody the same in terms of you're serving the Holy Spirit when you're around and meeting people. They're trying to communicate the love of God or the gospel or whatever. There are people out there that are still not saved. We have people maybe tonight in this building that are not saved. And tell you, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I would want my worst enemy to go to hell. If you've ever heard a testimony of anybody that was near death experience that had gone there and not in hell, but they aren't caught in hell yet, but in that place, man, you wouldn't want any, your worst enemy. You would not want to go there. And it's a free gift. God, people, Jesus doesn't send anybody to hell. They choose to go there. He presents. I sacrifice myself. You know, if you accept the sacrifice and he cleanses us from our sins and so forth, and we live in our eternity. I mean, we are living forever. Forever. We're going to see each other. I mean, we're going to have a great time. I just can't imagine. No, I know why she wants to go, but you ain't going yet. You got years. I'm sorry. Let's prophesy that to you. Unless he returns, though, okay? But she's got some time still. But there's no, I mean, to want to stay in this realm when you, compared to glory, there's just no way. So Daniel, he gets the information from God. And he sits there and he says, Daniel answered, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Now here's some things here. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He changes the times and the seasons. Have you ever thought that you're in a season that couldn't be changed? I am telling you tonight, he can change your season. Maybe you've asked him to change your season. I'm sure he heard you. He can change the season that you're in. He has the power and the ability to change the season that you're in. I was talking to somebody today that was in a season, and they wanted it to change. And this particular individual has a calling on their life. They're called to be in the prophetic ministry. And all of you know that aren't as many in here that are in the prophetic ministry. So you realize that the prophetic ministry, or any ministry, really, you can be in the pit, prophet in training, or prophets in training, or pastor in training, or person in training, whatever you want to call it. And so we're in training. And one of the things that this particular person, I was trying to tell them, I've told them 3 times now in different ways, you know. And so when you're coaching people, you know, you're repetitive. You know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit is teaching you, you're hearing the same thing. It's like you go over here and you hear the same thing. You go over here and you hear the same thing. I'll never forget when God put me in the book of, you know, when Noah and during the flood, that's all I heard. That's all I could look at it for 3 straight years. I'm studying the flood. And anybody that came and dove with me or a baby, it's here, the baby's Noah. Here's Noah. I mean, it was getting ridiculous. And I'm going, there's something about that. Am I not learning or what is it? And I am a little bit slow. So I finally got what he wanted, and then I could move on. But it's just that way. When you're being coached by the Holy Spirit, you'll find yourself being repetitively said the same thing will come to you. It's like you're going around the same mountain. And it's not that God, you know, wants you to keep in that mountain, but sometimes he has to go, you've dwelt on this mountain long enough. I'm going to put you over here, you know? But then you find out over here, you're still learning the same thing. But this particular individual, I don't understand. I said, one of the things about God, he has this little thing. He says he'll have no God before him. So this individual was thinking about some other things, in fact, obsessing about other things other than him. And I mean, from a coaching standpoint, it became obvious of what she needed to be able to do. And so I began to start to work on that. But the thing about it is, the individual started to, it was so clear to me what needed to have happened. But when they heard that, it all of a sudden began to start making sense. And I asked that one question that I have asked you. I said, how is God training you? Do you know? Because when you know how he's training you, that helps a lot. Because then you start to realize that, hey, if he's training me in this area, he must want me to get this so that I can go to the next class. Because see, when you know God, how God is training you, you can identify it, you can put it on your mirror. That's a good place to put it. And you can see it when you wake up in the morning, and you can anticipate there's something in your day, in that week or whatever, that you're going to be confronted with, that where you're going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit to direct you. And if it's in the area of patience, or if it's in the area of endurance, or whatever it might be, when you come up to that situation and you recognize it and realize, I'm being trained in this area. Now here's the situation that presents itself. And now you have a choice of how to respond to it. And if you respond to it out of your human mind and your human experience,
you will be tested again and again and again and again and again until when the situation presents itself, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Ah, I need to do that. Okay, and then you apply what you hear and what's happening. Now you're in a relationship. Your ear is being opened to hear his voice. And it's going to get real specific. What a huge advantage that is. So in your ministries, you have to make sure that you are able to identify how you're being trained in order to get past the season. How do I know this? Because I've walked through it. I mean, you know, my wife's back there tonight. She can tell you. She's probably seen some changes in me. Good changes. And it's all because I'm listening. You know, it's like, for whatever reason, it's something about us. We just, you know, it's not that he hits me up to the head. It's just like sometimes truth is so evident and so obvious. That's why I love the way that Stephanie, God was using her tonight. Clear. It was like clear crystal water. Boom. Scripture. You could just walk on that. You could walk all the way home and back. And it was just, I could just see it just nailing, you know, because it's his word. You know, but it was so clear, it was so crystal. It was something that was not just done out of the teaching, but it was done out of experience. You guys are experienced warriors. You're seasoned. And so more, because you have wisdom, more is going to be given to you. But you must know how he's training you. It's so key. Let me move on here. So, he changes at times and season. He removes kings and sets up kings. One of the things that back in 2015, I don't know what I was doing, but somehow the Lord just dropped in my spirit that Donald Trump was going to be our next president. And with that, he added a scripture to it. And so I read the scripture and I was like, well, I knew that scripture applies to something, but it just, I mean, that sounds to me like, well, first of all, it sounds like you're going to protect the guy. Secondly, it sounds like a lot of people are going to be mad at him. So I'm sitting there and I'm reading. I have watched this play out for years now. I'm going to read it to you because I said it in the Word of the Week, but I want to read it to you because I want you to just hear what I heard. And I was like, and so this, and the reason why I'm saying this is that this was information given to me that came from the realm of the unseen. And I get the information. I don't have to go and get on TV and say, oh, you know, Lord told me, you know what I'm saying? You're going to get stuff from God. Don't tell anybody about it. And he'll tell you when to say it if you're going to say it. But get some things from the Holy Spirit. Watch it play out that will give you confidence. Now, because not everything that God shows you is to be shared. Some of it's to be pondered upon. But some of it is to be shared. But when you know that you're hearing something and you see it come to pass, it creates a confidence that comes that you truly are hearing his voice. Some of you in here may have already understood that, you know, there was going to be, you know, a war or whatever it might be. But it also can pertain to local events. It also could pertain to people in terms of warning them not to go somewhere. I've had that happen before. So it's so important. So anyway, let me just read this thing. Fear not, for there's nothing to fear, for I am with you. And I believe, I sent this to him, by the way. I sent it to his campaign. And I told him, and I'm sure he didn't get it, but I sent it to him anyway. I said, you're going to be president. You're going to win. And this is the scripture you need to read because this is going to happen. And so it took me a while to figure out where to send it. So somebody got it. I don't know if they read it or not. They probably just dumped it. But anyway, I did it. So fear not, for there's nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror or be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. Behold, all those who are enraged and inflamed against you, shall be put to shame. Now, if you watch the last, the State of the Union, I'm watching him shame people, and I'm sitting there, my goodness, you just can't make this stuff up. Shame and confounded, they who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. And those who war against you shall be as nothing, nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, fear not, I will help you. Now, I am not calling the man a moral figure. I am not. I'm just telling you that is what the Lord showed me, and that is what is around him, because God put him as a president, we need kings, but he also removes kings. And there was one guy over in Iran that got removed recently, did he not? Now, the reality was the purpose of that war. So if I'm getting my information from, and you probably, many of you have this, what was going on there, I just had this strong discussion with Ron Campbell about this, who had a prophecy a year ago that it was recorded about this event. But what the Lord was showing me, you have believers, there was a church, an underground church in Iran that had been going on for years. What do you think they were praying? Praying, yes. There's a revival about to take place in that area, and God has bulldozed and clearing the way for the gospel. That is the reason for this thing to occur. It's all about the gospel. It's all about the kingdom of God. It's not about nations, and it's got to do about the purposes of God. And when we get our information from him, we will recognize these things, which causes us to get on our knees and target these things in prayer. Because your prayers, I don't care who you are, you've got a mouth and you can pray, and you can pray the will of God, and I tell you what, and things happen. Because why? Because the angels hearken unto the word of the Lord, and they perform his will. And what is it doing? It is coordinating us, because there's the largest, most powerful army on this planet right now is the church.
Thank you.
It's the church. So we have the ability to shape events as we pray according to the will of the Lord to bring about changes in seasons and times. And this is there's a unifying work of the Holy Spirit that's going on in our midst. You know, one of the things I've noticed just about the people that come here and stuff like that is the immediate unity. I mean, it just is. I just naturally love each other. Maybe because we're all good looking. I don't know what it is, but it's something about us. There's a unity here because there's a real compassion and concern and care for one another. There's a love that you've walked in for a period of years through the trials and the stuff you've gone through that has refined you. So let me go back into Daniel here. So he takes kings and puts them out, takes them down and puts them up. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Last scripture here, and I'm going to close. He says, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness. Let me tell you why that's important. He knows what is in the darkness. That's why you want to get your information from him, because you want to know what you're confronting. He knows. He has the understanding, the discernment of what's in the darkness, of what you're really up against. Because some of you are in wars right now, and I'm telling you, he's got the information you need to have to win your battles. Okay? It's really his battles, but he wants to give you the information. Because I don't know about you, I don't like just throwing up prayers and maybe something will stick, you know? You know, maybe if I cry, it'll work. Or maybe if I, you know, what is it that I need to do to make this thing, you know, to move the hand of God? And you can't con God, you know. That was, you know, when I was in Presbyterian Church, that was the one book that I actually didn't read it, but ministered to me as a young man in my choir robe. I know, Patty, you could picture me just in the choir. Somehow I lost my voice. That's when I could sing high. I think I was 12 or whatever. I had that soprano voice, highly talented, little soprano coming in. And, you know, the funny thing about it is that the pastor, he had me pegged. I don't know, he did something, he knew something about me. And he always made me read the benediction and stuff like that. But really, honestly, all I did when I was in the choir was try to make the other person laugh. It was about suppressed laughter because you couldn't laugh in church. And we would always try to kick each other, whatever. And, I mean, I'm just being honest, you know. And when we'd sing, I'd be singing mashed potato. I'd make something. I was doing all this stuff. And so, you know, but God somehow got me. And one of the things he got me that really stuck with me is I'm standing in line. We're ready to go into the church. And, you know, we're all in that choir robes. And I look to the left. And there's a book right there. It says, "You Can't Con God." And just it just went deep inside of me. And so sometimes, you know, you're crying before the Lord, and you said, "Lord, I just," and you know, and all of a sudden you hear, "Are you done yet?" "Oh yeah, you just took all the joy out of this. So yeah, I guess I am. What? Don't you care? Don't you know?" You know, I mean, the thing about it is that doesn't move the hand of God. What moves the hand of God is faith and trust and understanding. So when you're getting your information from there, it keeps you balanced. It makes your ministries just pure. You learn how to really truly serve the Holy Spirit. And everybody you talk to, and you get to the place, there's a place in God, I believe the hope that we all get there, to even our menial conversations, the awareness is turned on that we are serving the Holy Spirit when we're talking to people. And that we understand that we're given an account for every word that comes out of our mouth. And then we understand that we don't want to have an idle word come out. And so now that we get our information from him and we're walking in the awareness and the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit, which is walking in the Spirit, now we are a vessel that has consecrated itself and become a vessel of honor that can be used. And so your ministries are going to a new place. I say this just by the word of the Lord, that he is changing your seasons tonight. He wants to accelerate you. He wants to raise you up. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's his church, and he loves it, and he loves you. We're all family. And so I just want to encourage you tonight. Things are going to change. Some of you have deepened your commitments this year. There's something that has something has changed. God has brought you back to some foundational things that were laid even years ago. A time when you had zeal, but not a lot of knowledge, but you had zeal. And he wants you to get into that fire. He wants the fire to be stoked again. He wants you to get back and to remember what is the real truth. It's not about the things that we have here on the planet. Because anything that you try to hang on to right now on this planet, you're going to have to let go of it, okay? It's just, he doesn't want you to have anything invested here. He wants a total investment up there. And he can't make you do it. You have to make that decision on your own. Because everything around you can improve when you see and perceive the way that he sees. That's what Stephanie was sharing about Apostle Paul. The happiest chapter in the Bible, I love that, you know, and he's in prison. Can you declare that in your situation right now, that you're the happiest you've ever been in the middle of the biggest war? It's a place in God, and David called it the secret place, and he dwelled in it. He who dwells in the secret place, and you know how to get there. So I just want to encourage you, amen? God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all just bow our heads just for a second. If you're here tonight, and you do not yet know the Lord, you've not made him Savior, I just want to give you that opportunity. And I'm not asking you to raise your hand or do any kind of religious gymnastics here. I'm just talking to you. And I just want you to know how much he loves you. This is your divine appointment tonight. He brought you here tonight for a specific reason. And you've heard some things that have quieted your soul. And this is your night. So, you know, all you have to do is just ask him into your heart. And then he'll come in. It'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. And the journey will begin. It says that he's the author and the finisher of faith. And he has a call upon your life. It's significant. And he's prepared you for this moment. So I just want to encourage you, you know, that the Holy Spirit is aware and he loves you so much. Father, we just thank you for the great things you've done here tonight, Lord God. And Father, I just ask you just to continue to fill us up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Father, that we truly would leave here tonight seeking you and seeking information. Father, I thank you for the changing of the seasons. I thank you, Lord. I thank you so much, God, for the revival that these that come here tonight are going to be heavily involved in the days to come. I thank you for that, God. Now, Father, I just ask you, I just release Psalm 91 over this crowd tonight. Lord God, I ask you to commission your angels to surround and protect them. And I just thank you, God, for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, just come on up. And we've got so many people that can pray here. And if you feel led to give a word to somebody or something like that, just you're completely free and to do what you feel like you're led to do. Amen. God bless you.
Did you see where Trump's come out today? He said February 27th out there in Washington, D.C. That long big cement pond out there, what's that called? You know, I know we're leaking it.
Yeah. The reflection pool,
you know,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.